Our reading is from John chapter 6, verses 56 through 69. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you, there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, 'For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father.' Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, 'Do you also wish to go away?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
If you came this morning expecting to hear Arthur, I apologize. Don't know why I should, but Arthur is off doing military things. Been there, done that, and I'm glad he's doing it, and I'm not. And I'm here in the coolness, and I hope, well, where he is, I'm sure it's hot. But anyway, I've heard Arthur just once, and I think we're being blessed. Seems to be a very neat guy. You get a crick in your neck, though, if you talk to him for a very long time. But we're looking forward to hearing more and more from him. And then when summer settles down and things will get back somewhat to normal. Here we are in the sixth chapter of John. And remember, in John is not like Mark and the other Gospels. With what happened on the third Wednesday in July or whatever, John is more interested in what it all means. And at the first of the sixth chapter of John, we have the feeding of the 5,000. We have the disciples asking, "Where in the world are we going to get food to feed all these people?" They don't have a clue as to how to do that. And by the end of the chapter, if Peter is speaking for all the disciples, they know that Jesus' words are enough to give eternal life. They have come a long way in their understanding of Jesus. And the crowds have changed as well. Jesus speaks to them, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them." That right there is enough to give you a whole bunch of stuff to chew on. And when many of the disciples heard that, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" "Does this offend you?" Jesus asked. Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. Pretty harsh words. The crowds have changed. They have changed from being seekers who want Jesus to give them this bread always. They've turned into naysayers. who are offended by his suggestion that they eat his flesh. Some of them argue with him. Others who had followed him turn away, and we're told they never come back. All of them have seen the same miraculous events and have heard the same divine words come from Jesus. They have witnessed him feed 5,000 people with little or nothing. So what's happened? Well, by today's standards, we might think that Jesus wasn't too smart in the way he presented his message. We might not know who his PR man was, but if we were to get to thinking about it, we'd want to fire him. Was it really necessary to speak in such shocking words? Couldn't he have toned it down just a little bit in order to attract more followers? I mean, that's what all of our great successful politicians do. But the fact is, Jesus chose to communicate his message as clearly and as directly as he could, warts and all. And speaking as he did, Jesus didn't try to cover up or hide any of the shocking details of the gospel. There are several times in John's gospel where Jesus utters his I am sayings. We've heard about them not too terribly long ago from Sherry. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Well, when we hear that, it's easy for us to form some pleasant visions in our minds of green meadows and gently flowing streams with Jesus kindly watching over us as the good shepherds watch over their sheep. Elsewhere he says, I'm the light of the world. And again, we picture some pleasing images in our minds, warmly glowing candles shining in the darkness. And here in this chapter of John, we run across another of Jesus's I am saying. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life that has come down from heaven. And once more, we can conjure up in our minds pleasant images of freshly baked loaves from the oven, filling the house with an unforgettable aroma. Yet, as we are enjoying that image of freshly baked bread, Jesus interrupts us and says, no. No, the bread I'm talking about is my flesh, my body. And if you do not eat my flesh, then you have no life in you. Well, what kind of image comes to mind with that? It's like the little girl who was sitting with her family in worship on the Sunday morning when communion was being celebrated. And right after the minister took the bread and declared, this is my body, and then took the cup and said, this is my blood, the child blurted out, oh, yuck. But oh, yuck was the exact same response that the people had to Jesus when he said, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. So why did the people get up and walk away? Was it because it was too yucky sounding, or was it that they once again did not understand what he was saying? Well, I suggest that their reaction might be, was what it was, because they knew exactly what Jesus was saying. I think their hearing his demand to eat his flesh and drink his blood was a call to them to come and follow in the way of Jesus, a way that would eventually lead to suffering and the cross, to death. You see, he's telling them, take up your cross and follow me. So the people who got up and left because they were refusing to accept that radical form of discipleship that Jesus was calling them to accept. Seeing what Jesus expected of them, those people decided that such complete and utter commitment to Jesus was not what they wanted. It was not what they wanted part of their lives. Their hunger for God was not strong enough to cause them to say yes to his call. What about you? As we sit here on the 10th day of July, 2016, what about you? Are you shocked by Jesus' words today? Do you fully appreciate the life-changing commitment to which Jesus calls you? Are you completely aware of the hardship and sufferings that discipleship might entail? Or do you assume that being a Christian is a low-risk, low-commitment way of life? I think one of the great problems in the Christian church in America today is that countless people have a church club mentality when it comes to their faith. Some assume that all that is required of them is that you give a little time, do a little work, pay some membership dues, and I don't know what, receive a go-to-heaven ticket. As a result, when some people finally figure out that to be a Christian means to live like Jesus, they are shocked and somewhat repulsed by his, "I am the bread of life, abide in me." And they walk away. See, when Jesus calls on us to abide in him, he's not asking us to add him as a part of our existing lives. To abide in Jesus means for us to shift the focus away from ourselves and to concentrate completely on God. Isn't that the reason our church is almost empty? It's not that we haven't figured out the right formula for entertaining. Some try to. It's not that we haven't come up with everything that we need in order to entice people to come and to sit for an hour. I think it's because they know what it means, and they don't want to have anything to do with it. It's too hard. Many churches of our day, the primary theme of evangelism focuses on the question, what can Jesus do for me? In other words, our concern is how Jesus can help us make it in the world today and not how we can respond to the world through the eyes of Jesus. Jesus saying, "Hey, you hungry?" Is Jesus saying, "Hey, are you hungry? Then come follow me and I will give you everything you want." Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them." Are you prepared to take Jesus and to eat him, to take him and make him the biggest part of your life? Well, the world around us is yelling, "Yuck. Don't do it." But ask yourself, then really be bold and ask your neighbor, "Are you hungry? What things in this world are you seeking to satisfy that hunger?" And if you and your neighbors are honest, you will admit that their hungers are many. They yearn for money. They lust for power. They thirst for prestige. You see, the world wants more, more. Well, neighbor, I think Jesus is saying those hungers can't coexist with our hunger for God. They'll only get in the way. The only one who can give us real food is Jesus. But neighbor, let me be perfectly clear. Let me be brutally honest. You cannot have all the things of this world and Jesus. It's not in the book. It is not about what Jesus will give you, but about you giving Jesus everything that you have. And then and only then, will that emptiness, that hunger that is deep down inside, will be satisfied. Put it into vernacular, there ain't no other way. In Jesus' name, amen.